Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. So glad you tuned in. Malachi 3:10 offers a gentle command. Here's what it says, as presented in the New International Version of the Bible. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. End quote. Wow. Pay tithe, get a blessing. Seems simple enough. Or are we missing a bigger picture here? Let's ask Dr. Jennings that question. He joins us today via Skype. Dr. Jennings, tithing, what do we need to know?
So, Charles, as we talk about tithing, let's just start with a foundation that I personally believe that tithing is biblical, and I've been tithing my entire life. So this is not going to be a discussion on whether tithing is a biblical practice or not. We're going to be talking about what it is, why people do it. Are there different reasons and motives? Are there different consequences for those different reasons? To where and whom do we pay their tithe? What is it to be used for, et cetera?
Yeah.
So tithe, the idea of tithe, it means 10%, basically, one-tenth of one's income. For those who are unfamiliar with the biblical practice of tithing, it is basically returning to God or bringing back to God 10% of one's increase. And there's a couple of ways that can be looked at, and tithes are historically understood in most Christian groups to be distinct from offerings. And the idea of tithe is that the increase is all God's, and God has 10% of it as identified to be used for his purposes, and 90% of the increase he gives to us to use at our discretion. Mm-hmm. Whereas offerings are coming from the 90% that is ours that we return to God because of whatever reason that we have thanks or whatever the reason might be, we return an offering. So as we think about that 10%, it can be approached from a variety of reasons. One, and this is the way it was kind of presented to me as a kid growing up, and most people that I know actually still approach it this way, as a business transaction, that we're in a business partnership with God. God is the one who provides the life, the energy, the resources, the intelligence, the opportunities, the rain, the sunshine, and therefore all the blessings and increase come from God, and there's truth in that. Mm-hmm. And in that business arrangement, God and the business relationship allows us to keep 90% of the profits, but 10% he claims for himself, and thus returning it is a business transaction, and when we return that 10% to God, God promises to bless us and increase the business, our income, so that we can return 10% more. As the income increases, then the amount we're actually returning increases, not the percentage, but the amount,
right?
Because the total amount that we are gaining is increasing. So that's one way to do it. What I've discovered, though, is that really doesn't necessarily is in harmony with what God actually wants from us. And consider the different perspectives. I think a better way would be a love-trust relationship with God. In a contractual versus a love relationship, what are those differences? Does tithing impact the way one approaches it if it is a contract versus if one loves God and recognizes that everything is already God's and we are his faithful stewards and we're not actually giving 10% to God in a business transaction. He's giving 90% to us in a love relationship because he loves us. Does that change our attitude towards God?
It would for me. Yes, it would.
What motive might develop in our heart if we approach tithing as a business deal, and as long as we give our 10%, then God is obliged to open the storehouse of heaven and give us more? Does that lead us to love more? Could we get more, you know, maybe more self-centered? It's like we're putting money away in our retirement plan and we expect to see it grow.
Yeah.
So I'm paying my tithe. I'm expecting more next year than the year before. If that doesn't happen, what happens in our relationship with God? So I think the first point is I would encourage people that tithe really is only truly returned to God in a love relationship with him, as we recognize that he is the source of everything and that tithe was his all along and he's graciously giving us 90% of the increase. So the next question is, what is the purpose of tithe? Most Christians, if you ask, would say it would be to advance the gospel. And that's what most Christian communities do, and there's a variety of different ways they use it, some for pastor salaries, some for missions, some for materials that have the gospel message that are spread, and others. I don't know there's an absolute right or wrong, but most use the tithe for advancing what is considered the gospel. Mm-hmm. But that's the first purpose. The first purpose is its actual use and what the organization does with it. There's actually another purpose in returning the tithe, and that is to strengthen the faith of the one who returns the tithe. It is an act of faith when you're looking at your bills for the month and you're looking like it's going to be tight, and you look that that extra 10% might get another bill paid, but you turn that that money over to the Lord instead because it wasn't yours. Yeah. And you recognize that's not my money to spend. That's the Lord's money. This is my money. And it's an act of faith to do that, and it strengthens our faith. And I know many stories of people who have done that, and the Lord has always provided for them, and their faith is strengthened. So one is the use of it for the gospel. The other use of returning tithe, though, is to help a person's faith relationship grow.
I can identify with that because I'm sure you have too. And in the early days of any business or any life, that 10%, letting go of that can be a bit of a challenge sometimes.
Right. And that's when we do it because it's not ours anyway.
Right.
If you actually had some arrangement with a neighbor or a family member where 90% of some sale of a piece of furniture was to you and 10% was to your neighbor or your family member, would you withhold that 10% from them?
No.
So it's an act of integrity and loyalty and faithfulness of the person who returns the tithe to do this. Amen. But you only get that blessing of enhanced faith if you do it in faith and not in fear, not in doubt, not in some business transaction with demands placed on how God must respond and act. Yeah. If you do it that way, well, if you remember those people that crucified Jesus paid tithe on the herbs of their garden, they were faithful tithe payers, but they didn't have increased faith in God through their tithe paying.
True.
So other questions that come up about it is, where are we to return our tithe? Who's authorized to receive it? Do we, as God's friends, the people who are bringing the tithe, do we have responsibility to determine where we return the tithe, or are we to blindly return it to the organization or denomination or system that we were born into and raised in? If you lived during the Dark Ages and you have a saving faith relationship with Jesus, where would you return your tithe? Would returning the tithe to the Roman Church to carry out crusades be advancing the gospel?
I don't know how I could say that. That did not work out for me in my mind, no.
No, so there was places to return the tithe. There are ways to advance the gospel, but just blindly returning tithe money to institutions and denominations may not be the place the tithe needs to go. And so today, do we have responsibility of God's friends and stewards who he's entrusted with these resources to place those tithes and offerings also, but the tithes into places that we have validated are advancing the gospel? And do we have a responsibility to assess the organization, inquire what is the gospel message they're taking, to come to a conclusion that we also agree that this is the gospel, the good news, and we want to support it? Or do we simply blindly write a check each month to an organization that has a charitable tax status and feel good about ourselves?
Yeah. That's a tough one, Dr. Jennings, because sometimes we don't know the whole story behind certain places, ministries, or outreach programs, or organizations.
Don't confuse the question, because that wasn't the question.
Okay.
The question was, do we have responsibility to investigate? And you're correct.
Yes.
We might find that we've been donating to an organization that later comes out was doing this or that. The point is, when we find out the organization teaches a view of things or a message that we do not believe represents God faithfully, do we still send the money to that organization, or do we have responsibility to move our donations to another outlet? And it may not be an organization. I know some Christian individuals who have lived in different centuries and even today who advance the gospel by supporting individuals who are doing Bible studies or going door to door or doing a mission work or other ways. So it doesn't necessarily have to go directly to an organization. It could. Some do it by purchasing prison materials and yes, putting Bibles in prisons and other things like this. There's a variety of ways to advance the gospel. I think the easiest way is to write that check blindly every month to an organization we've been associated with our whole life without ever inquiring if that organization is really advancing the gospel.
Okay. All right. I got you. What's next?
And what is the tithe to be used for? What is the gospel? Is the gospel the message that Jesus died to pay our penalty so God won't have to punish us? He took our punishment and God punished him in his stead? I would actually say that is not the gospel. The Bible doesn't say that he came to take our punishment. It says that he came to take the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
yes,
not takes away the punishment of God for the sin of the world. And so this idea that he takes the punishment of God for the sin of the world makes God out to be the one who is the source of problem that we need to evade, which represents God as the source of death rather than God as the source of life. But the Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death. Sin, when full grown, brings forth death. Those who sow to the carnal nature from that nature reap destruction. So a gospel message that talks about Jesus taking the Father's penalty upon himself so that God won't have to kill us is actually not the gospel message.
It's not the gospel message, no.
And so if you're supporting a church that takes that message, you may actually be delaying the second coming of Christ.
So when you pay tithe, Dr. Jennings, and I know that you are a faithful tithe payer, you've said so at the beginning of the program, I'm not going to ask you where, but what is your criteria? You've mentioned this, but what is the number one thing you're looking for in whatever individual or organization or company or wherever you send your tithe? What's the number one thing you're looking for?
Are they saying of God what is right? Mm-hmm. Are they revealing the truth about God? Jesus said in his prayer, John 17, Father, I finished the work you have given me to do. I have made you known unto men. And then he went on to say to his followers, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Mm-hmm. And our number one responsibility, and it says in a message in Revelation about the message to go to the world at the end of time in Revelation 14, three angels, the message is, fear God and give glory to him. Yeah. Give glory to him. How do we glorify God? By revealing his true nature and character, primarily that we let our light so shine before men that they see the goodness of God living in us. And so we want to support organizations and individuals who are revealing the truth about God that Jesus revealed. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, Jesus said, and that you don't see any character differences between Jesus and the Father. If you have Jesus as a loving Savior pleading to a wrathful, punishing Father to protect us from his wrath, that is actually not the gospel message, because you've created two different deities that have different attributes that are kind of pitted against each other, and one of them needs the other one to buy off their wrath so they don't hurt us. That's actually the core of paganism, where a wrathful God needs sacrifices offered to it so it won't harm us.
Okay, Dr. Jennings, at the beginning of the program, I read Malachi 3:10. How would you bring that message to our listeners today?
The blessing that is poured out from heaven is not a financial blessing. It is the treasure of heaven. And the treasure of heaven is Jesus Christ that is poured out into our hearts, and we become partakers of the divine nature. We get new hearts and right spirits, and we receive eternal life. This is the blessing that is poured out with abundance and without measure. It's not a financial one, primarily, at all. And we're going to end up in a place where the streets are paved in gold.
That's
it's pavement.
True.
So the blessings of heaven are not monetary. That's an earthly way of looking at things. They are eternal blessings that restore us to unity with God by pouring Jesus into our hearts.
Common Reason Ministries has been the sponsor of this program. CommonReason.com is their website, where you'll find a lot of resources available to you, listener, as you continue your journey of discovery on all things pertaining to the character of God. And I like what you're saying here, Dr. Jennings, because when we live our lives, or when we return our money, the reason for doing that needs to be to share God's love, to increase people's awareness and understanding of the true character of God. Am I saying that right?
That's exactly right. It's always advancing the kingdom of God. That's our mission on earth.
All right. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for sharing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.